my gun!
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And here we are. Here we are. I didn't know if Lou was going to have something ready there or not. This is the Dutch Jones. Let me move this. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you live right now. It is, what is today, the 21st?
The 22nd.
22nd of October. This month just flew by. 22nd of October 2010. It's just 3 minutes after 5 p.m. Pacific time, and this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday when we can. My apologies for yesterday. Let me bring up something here. We had a complete computer failure yesterday, and we didn't have enough computers to do the FM and this and everything else. So today we're on the air. We're sacrificing the FM side. We're not going to be playing Corn Key today on FM. But what we're trying to do is we're waiting. Someone's got a computer they said they're bringing up today. So if they bring it up during the middle of the show, we'll just bear with us. We won't stop the show or anything. We'll continue the show and work on the FM side after the program. So if you see somebody carrying stuff behind me. We're running the video today. That's not the normal mode for those of you that may be new. But on days of show and tell, and I promised early in the week, people have said, hey, we buy these vests from you, and we buy this tactical gear, but some of us don't know how to use it. We've never messed with it before. What do you do? How do you do it? So we're going to show you a couple different combinations here. So this is my girdle that I wear, and this is a plate
it's
carrier.
Your purse.
What?
It's your purse.
It's my purse, as Stacy calls it. It's got all my stuff in it, and when we're going to go on a long road trip, I throw this in the back of the car. It does kind of draw attention when I wear it to the mall, so... I try not to bring it inside, but it's there. It's got primary ammo, secondary ammo, and stuff like that. And so people have been asking, what do you carry? And then Stacy and Lou have got their vests on, and we'll just kind of go over the different kinds of vests. We don't have the third kind. We've got, this is a plate carrier, bullet-resistant metal and fabric and stuff like that. I have this just because I like this. I don't like the zippers. Even if you put your Kevlar inserts in, the zipper is still the weak point, and a bullet's still going to go through the zipper. I don't understand that. But since Stacy and Lou, they're wearing those, they don't have any bullet-resistant material in theirs.
I'll just shoot behind you.
You're just going to hide behind me, she says. They're going to have those kind of vests. And the third kind that we're not going to show today because we sold our last one, they're kind of like an LBE, a load-bearing vest, an LBV, rather, load-bearing vest. It doesn't matter what kind of vest you have, but you're going to have, there's going to be pockets and stuff. People want to know what to put in them. There's obvious stuff like magazines going to magazine holders. And I'm not talking about Boys Life, Lou. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But before that, we've got a couple news things that we're going to talk about. Anyone that has any information on July 4th Patriot's girlfriend's daughter, which I assume it's his child, was taken by CPS from Oklahoma back to Tennessee. People are asking me questions. I don't have any more information than that because we can't stream audio or anything with our main computer down. I haven't been able to listen. I've told that the intelligence report did some stuff on it. If any one of our regular listeners that's got a finger on the pulse of that wants to call up, and give us a report. All I know is another kid was taken. I heard it was a little girl, 6 or 7 year old girl. I went to a couple websites and there was no definitive information, so I'm not going to share scuttlebutt with you, other than that this child was supposedly taken for its own protection again, and he's another Oath Keeper. If you guys are on YouTube, July 4th Patriot has a bunch of stuff up. I don't know anything about him. I don't know his character. He's obviously... If he's got a girlfriend with a kid, I would assume he's not a Christian. But that doesn't mean, that we can't be worried about that child's safety and being taken by the state again. They're going to start gearing it up. And that type of stuff is going to happen more and more. And like I posted on my website, if they come here to take my kids, things are going to get sticky and gooey real fast for these people. And I'm going to continue to hold on to that. Let's see. Let's go here. I'm fighting back a sneeze. Turn off the video real quick, Lou, so they don't see me sneeze. I make some of the weirdest faces when I sneeze. Okay. Hang on, people. Okay, bring the video back up. Thank you, Lou. And if I find out that you just... Did you?
No.
I will put a finger so deep into your eye socket and tickle your brain. Because he can turn off the monitor and still stream the video, so you guys let me know. But on this child, I've got some information here, but not... Let me see here. Find it here. Just contact information that I'm going to put in the room from the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, what they're asking is that you folks contact these folks and give them what for. So here, I'm going to post it real quick. Hopefully it'll work there. It's a big one. So, okay, that's some contact information for harassing the government there in Oklahoma for turning this child over to Tennessee CPS, traveling across state lines to steal the kid. So I don't know anything else about it. If you know, give me a call, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Now, the one contact that I had on it, Minuteman, he's on the border, and he's not getting the show today, so we won't hear from him today. I got a really good letter from Chuck Baldwin. Well, he sends it to everybody. It's not like he sent it to me. And then I've got some information here. Where is this? I got to find it now. Here's one that'll make you mad. I'm just going to jump right into this. Let me bring this up. In North Carolina, a veterans memorial in a park was flying the Christian flag. And if you guys don't know what the Christian flag is, that's the red cross on a blue field in the upper left-hand corner of a white field on the flag. And it's been used since, I know Cromwell used it. It goes way back. And so we go, it's the flag of the Vatican. I don't think it's the flag of the Vatican. I think that's a yellow cross. But this is a flag. It gets used by a lot of different groups. But during the first War of Federal Aggression, it was used by the South as a battle flag. We continue to use it as a battle flag. Well, some veterans had placed it over a park, a memorial in a park. In King, what is just the name of King, not King City, King Town, just King, North Carolina. The Christian flag is everywhere in the small city of King, flying in front of barbecue joints, hair salons, stuck on the bumpers of trucks, hanging in windows, and blazoned on T-shirts. The relatively obscure emblem has become omnipresent because of one place it can appear, flying above a war memorial in a public park. The city council decided last month to remove the flag from the monument in Central Park after a resident complained and after city leaders got letters from the American Civil Liberties Union and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State urging them to remove it. The decision incensed veterans groups, churches, and others in King City, which is about 6,000 people and 15 miles north of Winston-Salem. Now, Ray Martini, 63, an Air Force veteran who served in Vietnam, launched a round-the-clock vigil to guard a replica Christian flag hanging on a wooden pole in front of the war memorial. Since September 22nd, the vigil has been bolstered by home-cooked food delivered by supporters, sleeping bags, blankets, all this. They're putting their money where their mouth is. And these aren't even militia guys. These are just citizens who are sick and tired of God being stripped out of our history and our monuments. And they're guarding this. Now, the monument stands as hollow ground, says Martini, a tall, trim man with a tattoo on his right arm, commemorating the day in 1988 when he became a born-again Christian. It kills me when I think people want to essentially desecrate it. The protesters are concerned not only about the flag, which was one of 11 flying above the memorial when it was dedicated 6 years ago, but about a metal sculpture nearby depicting a soldier kneeling before a cross. I won't let it fall, Martini said. I have already told the city, before you can take it down, I'll tie myself to it and you can cut me down first. I love this guy. The identity of the resident who complained about the flag, a veteran of the Afghan War, has not been made public. It's figured just some weasel. But the state chapter of the ACLU has no problem with the vigil. We are concerned when the city was sponsoring the Christian flag, but we don't have any concern with veteran groups displaying the flag. See how they're trying to cover their tracks? Oh, we don't care. You know, it's fine. Legal Director Katie Amakami Parker said, "We think it's great for the city is offering citizens a chance to express their opinions." Now, the protesters, though, aren't satisfied with the vigil. They're planning on October 23rd a rally in support of their ultimate goal, which is for the city to restore the Christian flag to the permanent metal pole in the memorial. At a recent public hearing, roughly 500 people packed the King Elementary School gymnasium, many waving Christian flags of more than, they had 40 speakers. No one spoke in favor of removing it. So this town really made a mistake. We've let our religious freedoms and constitutional rights be stripped away by one and away one by one, and I think it's time we took a stand, King resident James Joyce said. Wasn't James Joyce a writer? Mayor Jack Warren said the city won't make a decision until it can go over the opinions with legal counsel. Read, you know. And one possibility is designating a flagpole at the memorial for the display of any religious emblem. He said another is selling or donating the memorial to a veterans organization, essentially privatizing it. And those of you that don't remember, this thing happened here in California with the San Diego Memorial, where we had a big cross up on a mountain here, and we won the case, and then some vandals went and just tore the cross down. When it comes down to it, what can we do and what can't we do? What's legal and what's illegal, he said. There's nothing legal and illegal anymore. The courts are a joke. Created by a pastor in New York City a little over a century ago, the flag which sets... See, that's not true. Created by a pastor in New York City a little over a century ago, a flag which sets a red cross and a blue square in the upper left corner of the white field has been used by both liberal and conservative Protestant churches, but rarely draws much attention, according to Alicia Kaufman, a history professor of Waynesburg University. I would guess most church-going Protestants in America have never even noticed if there is a Christian flag in their own sanctuary, she said. It's just kind of there, unless there's a controversy, and then suddenly people pick it up. So I'm going to mark where this article is if you want to get it and you want to spread it around, because this is important. I'm not going to read you the whole article. But it's very important that people defend our cause and our flag. And I'm real happy for this. It's funny, the town's king. No king but King Jesus, and the town is named King. That irony is not lost on me. And the fact that it's a southern town, you know, North Carolina is still southern, even though it's North Carolina. I find it very heartwarming and encouraging to see that a whole town of people would rally around the Christian flag, and I'm real happy to hear that. So I encourage you guys to find that. If you've got Facebook pages or whatever, paste it, let it fly, no pun intended. Let's see, let me close that one. Let me go over here. I have one more article that I really wanted to read you guys. Where'd I post that one? This one by Chuck Baldwin. Where did it go here? Here we go. Oh, man, I didn't save the link, did I? Well, Chuck Baldwin sent out a new letter. Basically what he's done is he has taken the... What have I got here? Oh, come on. Now it's doing all kinds of weird stuff on me. Computers. I hate them so much. Chuck Baldwin has set out another one of his posts on basically going to sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Back to the Declaration of Independence and basically modifying it for the modern day, not changing it, but applying it to today. And I really like that, actually. And let me go here again. And, of course, you know, there's so much going on right now, today, that would have had the Founding Fathers rolling over in their graves. So to have one of our, you know, he's not a Founding Father, what would be the term? One of our Christian leaders who is, where is it? I got to hit Seymour, that's what I got to do. Christian leaders who are willing to make a stand today, you know, he's listed as the most dangerous man in America by the Southern Perversion Law Center. And for him to write this, I'm going to read you a little bit. This is from Chuck Baldwin's column. In the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, that to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies." Doesn't that apply right now? And I wouldn't even say colonies, I would say counties, I would say individuals. And he has the, you know, the preamble here and that kind of stuff, or to, or not the preamble, but the rest of the declaration. But here's what he says. I would argue that we, like our patriot forebears, have also endured patient sufferance. For at least a half a century, we have patiently endured the erosion and abridgment of our freedoms and liberties. We have watched the federal government become an overbearing and meddlesome nanny state that pokes its nose and sticks its fingers in virtually everything we do. We cannot drive a car, buy a gun, or even flush a toilet without Big Brother's permission. We are taxed, regulated, and snooped on from the time we are born to the day we die. And then after we are dead, we are taxed again. In the same way that Jefferson and company patiently suffered up until that shot was fired that was heard around the world, we who love freedom today are likewise patiently suffering a long train of abuses and usurpations. In fact, I would even dare to say that these states united have become a boiling cauldron of justifiable frustration and even anger. Accordingly, it is incumbent upon us to very seriously and thoughtfully examine those principles that we absolutely will never cede or surrender. We have already surrendered much of the freedom that was bequeathed to us by our forefathers. We are now to the point that we must define those principles that form our line in the sand and that we will not surrender under any circumstance. Either that, or we must admit to ourselves that there is nothing, no principle, no freedom, no matter how sacred, that we will not surrender to big government. I love this. And I'm not going to read everything you wrote, but I'm going to go over the points. There's, and I totally agree with Pastor Baldwin on this. There are things, it stopped for me 5 years ago. I'm not surrendering anything. My children, my guns, property, whatever I have is mine. I'm not putting it in their hands to trust because they have proven themselves to be untrustworthy. And Chuck Baldwin, you know, one of our leaders, is, and I'm calling you people to listen to him. And this may be the man that God is anointing. I don't know for sure now. We'll see how he is militarily. Maybe moving to Montana will get him a little more militia-oriented. The right to keep and bear arms. Men without guns are not free men. They are slaves, period. And he goes into his views on this, and I completely believe that. The tool of liberty has always been the Bible and the gun. You can't have liberty without the Bible and a firearm or some kind of weapon of the day. Of course, we all know Luke 22:36, the sword, the Roman short sword. And yes, I am one of these maniacal, fanatical gun owners that think if the militaries of the world have tanks, then so shall the people. If you look at Peter Hammond's efforts in Africa, the Christian militias there have tanks and aircraft to fight the Muslims and the communists. Otherwise, there would be more dead Christians. Now, I'm not a big fan of fully automatic weapons and all that, but I can tell you, the minute that they banned the Thompson machine gun, the 45 caliber machine gun, because gangsters were using it, and they took it away from farmers and ranchers and homeowners, that was the beginning of the end of the Second Amendment. Everybody went, ooh, yes, for this, we don't want another Valentine's Day massacre. We have to surrender our guns. And so many of these people deliberately, purposefully surrender their guns, and we can't do that. My line in the sand is, and they've already crossed it here in California, they're regulating our ammo. I'm already at war with the state of California now over that. February 1st, I'm a criminal now because I'm going to get my ammo somewhere else. Number two, registration of assault weapons in California. When they did that, I went to war with California. I'm not going to obey their unjust laws. 50 cal registration. All these stupid laws that the states and the federal entity put on us, that's my line in the sand. I keep telling people, I've been at war with the federal government for a long time now and the state government, specifically because of the state I'm in. As long as I'm here, I maintain my guerrilla status behind the lines. The right to own private property, like the right of self-defense, the private ownership of property is a God-given right. It's a way to pass wealth on to your children. We don't have that anymore in America. You can fool yourself and think that you own property. What do you own, a piece of paper that you pay monthly on? You say, well, I paid it off and I burned my mortgage. Well, how much do you pay to the state, federal government, county government for rent to live on your own property? How many Zone A fees? How many special use permits do you have to pay to use your property? You no longer have property rights. And then when you die and you go to pass it on to your children, unless you have a well-crafted will, They're going to end up paying again for it. Or if not, losing it outright. You know how many people I hear stories about up here in the mountain region? The elders of the family die and they have to sell the property to pay the taxes? You no longer own property in America. Now this next one's a big one for me. The right to educate your children. They're trying here in California to take that right away from us. They want to put them into the public cesspool system and grind them into little zombies. Not going to happen here. Not going to happen in my family. Is that a line in the sand you're willing to stand behind, or are you going to continue to send your kids to the public cesspool system? It angers me when people think they can send a six-year-old into the lion's den and go, oh, but they're representing Christ. Do you really think your child's equipped to share the gospel with a teacher who's got a PhD in a room full of thugs? Your children are like arrows, yes, but you don't shoot them full-heartedly into the enemy who's wearing full armor. You know, it just, I could go on for hours about that one. But here, I love these points, and I encourage you to look these up. So, freedom of speech and worship. I just told, the reason I told you about that flag in King, North Carolina. They want to take the statue out showing a soldier bowing down. Now, let's just say that I accept their separation of church and state argument. But is not a soldier bowing in front of a cross a historical fact? So we're to erase history to give the freedom of non-religion to those people who hate us and our God? We no longer have freedom of religion in America. Some of us do, but as a nation, we don't. Those of us that seize it refuse to take part of their 501c3 lunacy. We have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. And I'm not talking about, you know, the right to get up and blaspheme and do all that kind of stuff. Let's leave that separate. Under God's law, we would be able to take care of that. But even under our constitutional republic, supposedly, I don't have freedom of speech. I can't go out and preach without a permit from the state. I can't go down to the local mall here, set up a soapbox, start sharing the gospel, much less political views without a permit. You need special use permits for everything. How is going to the magistrate and getting a permit freedom of speech? I'm banging on my microphone here. So, I love it. He's outlined it. It's another throwing down of the gauntlet. And I'm highly encouraged by Chuck Baldwin doing this. All you guys that go to, and women that go to 501c3 churches, tell your pastor to get up and talk about Muslims or sodomites, and they'll be scared to death. You don't have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of property. You own nothing. The banks own it. You know what's going on right now in the mortgage debacle that's going on? They're not sure who owns what now. Some sheriffs are going, we're not foreclosing on houses because you can't prove to us who actually owns it. Does the bank own it? People are sending me stuff on the WikiLeaks release of documents. Maybe we'll get to that in the second hour. Thank you. But if you think we're not at war, if you think we're not cattle being rounded up, those of us that have escaped, those of us that are still free-range cattle, moo, are trying to shake your cage a little bit and get you to come out of that. That's what this show's all about, calling you people to come out of that zombie mindset. And when you get guys like Chuck Baldwin doing this, you got to check them out. ChuckBaldwinLive.com, ChuckBaldwinLive.com, ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Okay, we're coming up on the break. The next half hour, I'm going to show you all this wonderful stuff I'm wearing, why I'm wearing it, where I put it, tell you why I put it there. And I'm not doing this because I'm trying to brag. Well, maybe a little bit. But we had several emails and phone calls from fans of the show saying, why don't you show us where this stuff is put? Sometimes I forget why I do this show. I do this show for people that want to be sheepdogs that may have been sheep for a long time, because we get a lot of people that are hardcore that know more than I do about this stuff and doing it longer than me, so I forget that there are people that need to be shown a little bit, and that's fine. I didn't learn all this. I had to go somewhere and learn this. And some of the things I learned, you're going to go, well, that doesn't make any sense. This is not the definitive where to put your whistle, where to put your radio. This is just what I do. My role in the militia here is completely different than what yours may be. So if I say something, this isn't, you know, I don't want everybody sending me emails going, well, I was Special Forces for 215 years, and I would never put my radio on my belly. What if I got to reach it while I'm crawling? Well, I'm not a tactical soldier. I'm a garrison soldier. My job is to protect the women and children while the real militia's doing their thing. My secondary role is to sit up on a hill with a radio and hide. I'm not here to engage. I'm not here to fight one-on-one. I'm not physically fit enough. So I'm just going to show you what I'm doing and what our families are doing. And we're not even there yet. There's stuff I'm missing. I need an entrenching tool. I got to go find out where it went. Somebody used it, and I don't know where it is.
I didn't use it.
I'm just looking at you because it's fun to blame you. I don't. It's somewhere in the house.
Yeah, your chair somewhere.
Yeah, my shoulders are exposed. That's so I can show off my cool tattoos when, you know, when the enemy's coming. Normally I would wear like a long sleeve padded elbow shirt under this, but I'm not going to do it for here. We're going to focus on the vest. This is just a basic flak jacket with metal plates in it. I don't have the metal plates in it. Why? Because I'm really fat and I don't need the extra weight. Right now I'm sweating like a dog just wearing this. It's got Kevlar in it. I put level 3 Kevlar in it. I've got ammo. I've got the most important things on your vest. Ammo.
Magazines.
What?
Magazines.
Well, yeah, that would be your... What kind of magazines do you want? Home and Garden? Yeah, your weapons magazines.
Ammo.
I made the joke once earlier.
No,
the
guns and ammo.
Guns and ammo magazine in your pouches. And first aid. Those are the first two. I mean, my weapon's sitting over here. You can't see it. I got a rifle over here, but... So I got first aid, and we try to make everybody do kind of the same thing. Things are a little different, but you know, we try to mark everything. And I'll give you what I recommend and what our regular militia guys are doing. But we're going to go to a break. Oh, we'll be gone, and we'll be right back. Don't cry.
Can anybody tell me when it was this bad? Congress just ignores us and it's got us fighting mad. Like thieves in the night, they voted on a bill. Not a single one of them read on Capitol Hill. It wasn't even written yet. Now prostitution is illegal, bribery's a crime. So how can Congress get away with buying votes on our dime? The president's been gloating, declaring victory, high-fiving in the Senate as they steal our liberties. Oh, no, you don't. You tax our hard-earned money to buy the votes you need. Cash for cloture so votes are guaranteed. Ignoring your constituents, now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale. Our Constitution doesn't give Congress power to rule. We shouldn't fear government tyrannies for fools. Amendment 1, Section 8, healthcare's not the feds to regulate. It's where you know you shouldn't tread. Nah, you shouldn't be treading there. You left us with no choice. It's time for us to act. You're stealing our future, our freedom's under attack. Americans uniting, fighting back in 2010. Remember Massachusetts, we're in this fight to win. We'll just vote all y'all out. Oh, you tax the hard-earned money to buy the votes you need. Cash for cloture so votes are guaranteed. Ignoring your constituents, now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale. In Massachusetts, Virginia, and Jersey too. Ignore we the people come November, you're through. Hey, Congress, can you hear us now? Yeah, you tax our hard-earned money to buy the votes you need. Cash for cloture so votes are guaranteed. Ignoring your constituents, now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale. Not on our watch.
Fox
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an
emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, no, I'm sweating like Roger Ebert.
Man, that was loud. I am sweating like Roger Ebert. Ooh, we've got flies all coming inside. It's about to rain, I think. They're all coming in. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you Monday through Friday with a Christian militant worldview. If you're offended by that, go listen to Dr. Laura or go watch Fox or something for false freedom radio. That's what I like to call it. That's what Fox is. You know, they're all upset because that one guy said he didn't like getting on planes with Muslims and they fired him from public radio and now they hired him at Fox. It's just a publicity stunt. Yeah, I don't fly with Muslims. Of course, I can't get on a plane because I'm on the no-fly list. Stacey's all upset by it. She's so passionate about all this. But thank you for listening. We want to thank you for tuning in and dropping by to our little program. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. And this next half hour is going to be a little bit of show and tell. Gunslinger and about three or four other people asked me to do another show and tell. It's been a while. And so we're going, well, if the video works, we'll do it. Somebody said I look like a Stargate trooper. I've watched that a few times. They're not too bad. I don't have the cool weapons. I got old bolt actions. But we're going to talk a little bit about your load-bearing equipment, your web gear, whatever it is you're going to carry stuff in, what goes where. Now, I know I'm not going to insult you guys. It's obvious what the magazine holders are for. You put your fully loaded magazines, less two rounds. Everybody goes, why? I've got these really nice new ones that said they can hold 30. Well, the springs wear out, and do you want to really trust some salesman? So what I'll do is we'll put 28 rounds in our magazines, and depending on whether or not you have a Mini 14 or an AR-15 or whatever else you have, it's better to have them underloaded anyway. Sometimes it's hard, depending on the manufacturer, to cram that magazine all the way in. And when you're doing a tactical reload or, God forbid, an emergency reload, you don't want to have to be worrying about shaving off one of those rounds in the dark. So you've got your magazine holders. I don't know if they can see me or not, Lou. It looks pretty dark from here.
It is.
Turn on that light up there and point it on me. Yeah, there's... Okay, Lou, what are you doing? Okay, Lou says he's going to work on it. But I've got magazine holders here in the front. These are attached. The vest is just a Molly vest. Hopefully you guys can hear me. The vest is just a Molly vest. I've attached everything to it. Now, these vests that we have are South African. They came via Minuteman. He got them for us. They were torn up. They were cut up. We fixed them up. A couple of them are unsafe. Oh, thank you, Lou. That looks great. And we attach. This is all stuff we sell, by the way. Hint, hint, clue, clue. These are medic bags on the side, ammo carrier on the front. Are you going to say, why do you have so many different colors? You've got coyote, you've got OD green, there's some kind of weird camouflage. We use what we got. We're bushwhackers. We're not regular army. And I'm telling you, all you guys are spending all that money getting all matching stuff, I think it's a waste of money. You know, oh, I've got to have the latest multicam, and I got to look really sharp. I got to have. I know guys that go all, what is that, tiger stripe stuff? Tiger flash? It doesn't matter to me. I usually end up spray painting my gear anyway and augmenting it with Geely material, you know, burlap, whatever. So I'll have a mixture of stuff. I like OD because I can take markers to it. I can spray paint it. I can do whatever I want. So the first thing you got to worry about is, can you get to your ammo? Can you get to it? Now, since my primary weapon is a bolt-action rifle, my ammo is right here. But I get this headphone snag in here. Hang on, guys. And but my primary ammo I have right here. I can get to it. I have ammo on my side and stripper clips for my Mosin Nagant. For my pistol, I've got one here that I can get to, and it locks in. It's got a cover that holds it in, an elastic cover. I've got another magazine on my belt. I have depending on what position I'm in, you don't want to put all your magazines in one spot. If I were to lay down on my chest, because I was laying down firing from the prone position, which I wouldn't be able to get to a lot of this, so I got to be able to grab it. So I may have a magazine behind me in my back. I move it around. I practice with it. So you've got to know where your ammo is, both in magazines and extra. Now, how much do you carry? Standard loads, 200 to 220 rounds for 5.56. 308, maybe a little less. I'm on a bolt gun. I carry 100 rounds for my bolt gun. That I can get to, and then I have wrapped packs in my fanny pack, which you'll see later when I show you my fanny. About 180 rounds for my bolt-action gun, and then I have three magazines for my 45. My 45 is on my hip. I'll show you that later. It's not in the tactical holster. It's in a concealed carry holster. For this purpose, that's okay, because I might not even carry a pistol in the field just because I'm one of those guys, if you're using your pistol, you've done something wrong, and it's added weight. That's the other thing, weight. 25% of your body weight is about as max you want to go. I could load this thing down. I told people that were listening earlier, I don't have the steel plates in because I'm fat and out of shape. I got bad knees, bad back. I'm not going to be able to move. What good is it if I can't get to where I need to go? It doesn't matter if I can stop a bullet. I use cover and concealment to protect me more than the steel plates. So you got to be able to get to your ammo. And then be able to get to the fresh ammo to reload your magazines when you're done. Some guys like to carry ammo, magazine dump bags. I don't have one. It's not because I don't think they're a good idea. I just don't have one. Personally, I would be sticking them in my cargo pockets, sticking them down my back pocket. Magazines go wherever they're going to fit on me. But if you want to have a dump bag over here on the side, you know, back in this area that's open, or maybe a canteen there. But so have a place for your ammo, a place to put the magazines when you're done. Secondly, you have to make sure you can use your weapon when you're using the. Excuse me while I go off camera. One of the funniest things I've ever seen on the range, we had a training and this guy showed up with all this really high speed Black Hawk tactical gear, and check that weapon, make sure it's unloaded. And when he got there, he couldn't even shoulder the weapon because he had so much junk and gear on him. I mean, this guy had like three times the first aid he needed. He had GPS. He had everything. It's unloaded?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to blow a window out. Can you shoulder the weapon? Can you get it to the point where you can get it to where you need to? Look at that, guys. Can you manipulate your weapon? Do you have the proper sling? Now, this is just a hunting sling. Some guys like the three-point tactical, the one-point tactical. I just use a hunting sling. I got snaps up here so I can lock it into my shoulder for the long haul. Or I can carry it, you know, at a ready position, whatever. What good is to have all the gear if you're not comfortable with your weapon? Practice with it on. Don't wait till you get the knock on the door in the middle of the night. So your ammo's primary. Can you use your weapon with all this really cool-looking stuff on? Otherwise, you're just Ricky Rescuer and you're not doing anybody any good. Actually practice with the gear, and you can have to move stuff. And when we get into the other secondary and tertiary gear of what have you got to get to, you want to be able to get to it. Primary is ammo. Can you shoulder your weapon? Now, hopefully everything you're doing, that's all you're doing. You're just using your weapon, using your communications. That's it. But God forbid you end up needing medical aid. Where is your first aid gear? I love it. We've been out in the field and somebody gets a minor owie. Where's your medical gear? It's in the bottom of my backpack. Can somebody get it out for me? Or can I use yours? Because mine's down here. I left it in the truck. Basic first aid. This is Stacy's basic first aid kit for trauma. I mean, it's not Band-Aids. It's got some in there. But it's got pressure bandages, trauma bandages, roller gauze. It's all in there. And we put these together. This is like if somebody doesn't have a whole lot of money, we put these together for them. And I don't know how much they are. Put it, uniform it. Have it up here on the left shoulder. Everybody puts it in the same place. If it comes in just a plain OD package, mark on it. First aid, trauma kit, tourniquet, whatever you need. Make sure you have a tourniquet or something to make a tourniquet in there. I know all you Red Cross dweebies are going, oh, we're not supposed to use tourniquets. Do you want to die and hobble for the rest, or do you want to just lose a limb? You can still fight with losing something below the knee or losing something below the elbow, but do you want to die? Tourniquets. And if it's 550 cord, if it's something fancy with Velcro, and know the protocols for using it. That's another thing. If you put a piece of gear on your vest, you need to know how to use it. I've seen guys put their GPS, and then they put the instructions behind it. Or they'll put their compass, and they don't know how to use a compass. Well, I know where north is. Why would you buy gear and not learn how to use it? So, you know, don't be packing that. After first aid and ammunition, I always say communications is important. You've got to be able to get to your comm. To me, this is my comm. We're using FRS. I don't have any fancy throat mics anymore. I got nothing like that. I've got a radio. I have a radio. FRS radio is a very old one. It's good. I can get to it. It's right here. Sometimes I'll mount it up here in a pouch, and all I have to do is go, yeah, go ahead. Keep low volume. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Simple stuff, but I keep it down here because if I'm going to be like a shore watcher or a garrison guard, this is fine. I can still push here and start screaming for help if I had to. Batteries. Do you have backup batteries on this? Now, you don't have to carry 500 batteries. This takes three batteries. Three. The other device that takes batteries is my flashlight. I've got several kinds, but this is the one I'm going to show you. And there, I try to make all my batteries the same. No, this isn't one of those cool 1, 2, 3 batteries. It's AA. If your radio is AA, make your flashlights AA. I have extra batteries that I can get to. They're in a side pouch right behind me, which I'll show you when I turn around. And again, none of this is written in stone. This is just how I do it. This is a collection of military training, private training that I've gone to, so it's not the last word on everything. I can get to, even a fat guy like me can get to everything. Now, I may put a canteen over here. I may put another ammo pouch over here if the mission is dictating it. But I can reach all the way around. You want a vest that fits in a way that you can move all the way around in it. So electronics, can you get to your electronics? Can you get to your... I have a whole other pouch here in front that's got my binoculars, my material for making range cards, all right here. Everything I need is right here. If I want a snack or something, you know, I've got... Oh, here's another thing. 550 cord. This is indispensable. There's other cords inside of it. You can use it for sewing everything up. You can use it to bind prisoners. You can use it to make your hide, which I'll talk about later. 550 cord. I put it everywhere. We've got tons of it. Whenever we get a chance, we pick it up. I got my binoculars in here. But right here, I got some wire. It's I can't remember which one it is, but it's piano wire. And I know what you guys are thinking. We use it for snare wires. I have garrotes around here somewhere. We've actually made some garrotes with dowels. And this material is very good for trip wires, trapping animals. Don't think just combat. That's a mindset that all these, you know, these GI, ex-GIs, everybody gets into. We're guerrilla fighters. We are bushwhackers. We're going to spend more time looking for what? Oh, don't talk about it. Looking for food, looking for water, looking for shelter, then we're going to look for actually engaging the enemy. If you don't like that, you're not being very realistic. I can snare a pig or a deer with this. I can snag a human with this. There's all kinds of uses for this. I can string a shelter off of this, and it's very lightweight, and it's very strong because it's piano wire. Now, it doesn't work like a saw, but it'll take off a human head with proper application. I've got this. I got a couple different strands of this on my person in different areas. I could put a bologna sandwich in here if I wanted to. It's right here, easy to get to, right up front. Now, you may have smaller pockets on yours, like I've got the smaller containment areas with these first aid pouches that I'm using. These are actually trauma kits that we've we're just not putting. This one's got all the trauma gear in it. I'm going to have to stand up. Okay. This one right here, I've labeled it as first aid. It's got, you know, I hope you guys can hear me. Is it still metering?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do this. I want you to see this. And I can, with one hand, I can manipulate this. See? I can find the zipper. I can open it up. And I've got all my trauma gear, my tourniquets, my pressure bandages, large wound care. You're going to put your blood clotting agent in that if you have it, cayenne pepper if that's what you got. But you've got to be able to manipulate it yourself. Now, can I get to it with this hand? Now, I can't get to that zipper. So it's got two zippers. Watch this. You put them on top. I can reach it with this hand. I can reach it with this hand. What if this hand is injured and I need to get to it? So make sure your zippers are on top right there so you can get to it. Let's see. I kind of jumped off track there. But I hope you're understanding this, that there's no real, like, perfect way of doing this. But it's what works for you that counts. Everybody goes, oh, you need to put this here, that here. My ammo, it's Velcro. I can stick this on my rifle stock, but it's right here. I know it's there. And if this falls off, you can say, well, what if that falls off? I've got ammo all over the place. Let me show you. Take that off. Okay, right here, this is where I put a couple different things. I put 3x5 cards. What if I've got to write down some range cards? Trying to identify enemy troop movements. I don't want to forget it because I'm not the brightest bulb in the lamp. I'll write it down here. And I've got Sharpies all over me. I use Sharpies, pens, whatever. So I've got 3x5 cards so I can mark stuff down. Guess what? Look in here. More ammo. There's another five rounds of ammo, survival blanket, and then additional space for whatever else I want to put in here. Every little pouch counts. Every little pouch is something that you can put in. I got lanyards in here. Might be a good place to put a compass if you don't have a separate compass pouch. But you want writing material for reporting, observing and reporting, writing material. People will forget about that. Let's do this. Get it put away. Plus, there's little places here I can put additional stuff. I can put some 50 cal rounds or 45 rounds in here. See, I've got this to open up. There's all kinds of little crooks and crannies you can put stuff on a vest. You just figure out what's best for you. I told you flashlight, extra ammo. I told you I carry Sharpies. Now, not just marking on the 3x5 cards or in my sniper notebook in my backpack. What if I put a tourniquet on Lou? What is one of the critical things you do with a tourniquet? You write a T on the forehead and the time that you applied the tourniquet, so the follow-up people that come up behind you will know when to loosen that tourniquet. Yeah, a little tip for you there. Plus, if you're entering a building, you guys could come up with a coded system. I've told you this before. I'm going to enter a building for searching, you know, not in a tactical situation, but to search it. I could write my initials on it and the time I entered. I search it, come out, put the time I exited, and have a special code for what I found in there so that the next guy that comes along from my squad doesn't search the same building twice. Sharpies are critical. I love them. Plus, they're great for leaving sign behind if you're for rendezvous and things like that. And then if you noticed, this is all Molly gear. You can attach stuff on the front of it. So like on this side where I have my ammo, I also have a cleaning kit. You guys are going to... Boar snake for 30 cal, because that's what Lewis and I carry. I carry this. Stacy has a 223-1 that she carries. Boar snake's good. After any type of long day, take the time, even if you haven't fired your weapon, run the boar snake through it in case there's any obstructions. I've got extra ammo in here. I have my compact with all my combat makeup, which is, for me, because I'm such a big, fat, sweaty guy, I don't use it that much. I just rub dirt in my face. But I have it anyway. I've got more 550 cord, cleaning stuff. I've got more loose ammo in the bottom, some ammo in stripper clips. Again, keep the zippers at the top. But on the outside of this pouch, I've got a survival knife with survival gear in it. It's basically an Air Force survival knife, nothing fancy, $38. We don't sell them, but I got this one at a pawn shop years ago, and I love it. It's drawn blood on me only and a few animals that I've skinned. In the pouch itself, you see this pouch here? Can I show that? In this pouch here, what are you doing, Lou? You're messing with the picture again. Why? What are you doing?
I closed it and went away.
Yeah. I've got a sharpening stone in there. You might want to throw some fishing string down in there, some stuff like that that you can get to and use for survival. Let's see here. Somebody said snipers are also called bushwhackers, yeah. It's a brand new sheath for this, and I'm just wearing it out, or breaking it in. The other one I wore out. It's got a dirt cover for it. I like that, you know, because you can keep other stuff in there. You can snap it shut. Somebody watching may not know it's a knife. The thing with the knife is for me, it's more of a survival tool than a combat tool. I don't want to get in a knife fight with anybody. I've got enough training to know that it's just nasty. So you want it where you can get to it with both hands. Lou, I can't see the picture. Show the picture again. What are you doing? You want it where you can get to your knife with both hands. If not, make sure you have a backup knife somewhere that you can get to it. Pocket knives, you can stick them anywhere on this Molly gear. Nice little tactical folder up here in the front would be good. And we haven't even gotten to the back yet. Water, everybody asks about water. I drink a lot of water. I have a hydration pack on the back, which what we'll do is at the break I'm going to take it off. And I'll turn the pouch around so I can show you. The stuff in the back, you got to be able to get to it too. I can get to my fanny pack. Here's my fanny pack. I can get to this. I can get to the sides of it. And on the side, the reason I've got it where I can get to it on the sides is in the back I've got more first aid stuff. I've got a rattlesnake bite kit in there. I've got antihistamines in there. I've got the stuff that's not necessarily life-threatening. I mean, you get bit by a rattlesnake, a guy my size isn't going to die, but I'm going to need, so I can sit down, take my vest off, and start doing the process that's needed. So it's not something I need to have right up here. More things in front. I mentioned this. I've got a lensatic compass, and this has been one of my pet peeves. Oh, and you'll notice I had a lanyard on both my radio and my compass. Because you lose your radio, that's bad. You lose your compass, that's bad. You pretty much should not lose your rifle because you're concentrating on it. But these things that you're not concentrating on, you could lose. If you're going to get a lensatic compass because you think, hey, it looks cool and they're military, I highly don't recommend these because unless you've had military training, they're tough to use. Shooting azimuths and all that, you got to learn it. Go out and get yourself a good old-fashioned Boy Scout compass or Girl Scout compass or whatever. But I just prefer these because I had never used a compass before I joined the Army. So I get these, and these aren't even, I mean, they're accurate, but they're not the high-quality ones. We do sell them. I've seen these hundreds of dollars. I don't know how much ours are. But I have it up here because if I'm, part of my job, my role, is to take the women and children and get out of Dodge. So if I have to get to a rendezvous point, I need to know where I'm going. I need to be able to shoot an azimuth that we've pre-designated to certain rendezvous points from the location I'm at right now. This is the primary rendezvous point here where we broadcast from. And then to the getting out of Dodge when the bad guys are coming. Now, I've taught classes for everybody in the church, and only like 8 people showed up. But everybody owns a compass because it's cool, right? Learn how to use it. It's not easy. I mean, it takes some. You got to be able to do math. You got to add and subtract, and your eyesight has to be good. And praise the Lord, there was a while there for about the last 6 months I couldn't use this because I couldn't see the marks on the compass face because it's too small. And then to plug diatomaceous earth again, I've been taking diatomaceous earth for 20 days now, roughly, and my eyesight's coming back. And that's diabetes related, so it could be also that my sugar's going down because I'm eating better. But my eyesight came back. I don't even really need these glasses anymore. They just look really cool. This is where you guys all say, yeah, you look really cool. Yeah, Lou and I want to match. So that's why, you know, the compass, you got to learn how to use it. The big ones, the clear ones that you just lay down on the face of the map and you can see through them, I like those much better. You know what I'm talking about, the big red. We have those. I just don't know where they are right now. The big rectangular ones are all marked out. You point it on the map. That's good. You might want to, in the front, have like a map of your operational area that's folded up so you can take it out and use it real quick. Inside, some type of clear plastic, something you can write on. Navigational material would be in here. I don't recommend using GPS because they work both ways. But for now, they're okay to use. Maybe marking your caches or something. What are you doing, Stace? Is everything okay? Oh, okay. It's like, is everything okay? You're like dancing over there. So, but and you can see, I'll kind of show you guys the back here, a preview before we come back. But I don't have a whole lot on the back. I've got in the back pouch, which I'll show you, I've got a one of those Afghan green schmogs, or however you say it. And then I've got a sniper veil, a green one for making up a position. Not necessarily, I'm not a sniper. I'm just not in that role anymore. I'm more like bounding Overwatch. And so my goal is to get up into the hills, hide, protect the women and children, while the guys that are fighting Abel, like Lou and the rest of them, are actually doing slow tactics to slow down the onslaught. And then we get out of Dodge together when we rally up. So depending on what your role is, I mean, you may be a medic, and yours would be completely different. You just have a sidearm and all your medical gear. We've got big medical bags that are platoon-sized medical bags and trauma kits. That may be what you're carrying. Now, on top of this, I have a backpack with enough food and supplies to live about a week. In the fanny pack, I've got enough for a day. About a day. I've got some Spam slices in there in the little Mylar packages, granola, things like that. I've got some pills and things that I'll show you that I put in there. I got eye drops because you're going to be surprised. If you're in an observation role and you're just watching something and you're using binoculars, cool, Ed, welcome. And you're using binoculars and stuff like that, you're going to need eye drops. So I got a bunch of eye drops in there, chapstick, the ever-present need for toilet paper, and we'll talk about that kind of stuff when we come back. Lou's going to start rolling music here. I'm going to take this vest off. It's almost like I need a surf to help me get dressed up for this thing now, but we're working on that. So this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're talking about what to put in your vest, where to put it in your vest, and we'll be back after the break on Liberty Tree Radio. Thanks for listening.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw you a-marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets soaking up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help at all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from mil-spec
and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hit for you geniuses out there.
Bang, 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 bang.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention! This is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time
for that! Jones!
Radio! Radio!
And now for something completely different.
It's a low-volume Friday here on the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Welcome to all our Liberty Tree Radio listeners that just tuned in. Let me turn this up a little bit. We're coming to you live from the mighty little town of Cahuilla. It's actually a commonwealth. It's not a town. In Central California, we come to you Monday through Friday when we can. We were not on yesterday because our main computer, the hard drive, died. We lost everything. And we've got another computer coming. Right now we're just kind of hodgepodging it, so we're not broadcasting, unfortunately, Mark Kornke right now because we're using that computer. It's just, you know, moving it around and stuff. So we're unable to do that. So those people that were listening on 93.3 that are local, we apologize for that inconvenience. Within a couple days we should have another computer in here, or so we're promised. So welcome. Thank you for tuning in. We've had several people calling and emailing me about Sergeant Dyer's child being taken from Oklahoma from his girlfriend's house. That's all I know. I know no facts in the case. All I know is it's taken back to Oklahoma. We posted Tennessee and Oklahoma information, but that's all I got. So I have nothing new for anyone. So all the IMs I'm getting through our Facebook listeners, and if you're listening on podcast, you guys probably know more than I do. However, if someone who has pertinent information on this yet another CPS kidnapping from an Oath Keeper or militia guy, give us a call, 559-561-8225, area code 559-561-8225. And those of you that are listening over FM, shortwave, or CB, thanks, Scotty. I always appreciate you in there. I haven't mentioned you yet. I do appreciate you tuning in and retransmitting us up there in the Finger Lakes section of New York. We ask you to visit the DutchJones.info website, DutchJones.info website, and we love it. You can get me a 500. I can get a 500 gig hard drive from BestBuy.com for $75. Yeah. Well, this guy, I don't know. What did he say he was going to put in it, Lou? Do you know?
I don't know. He didn't say.
Yeah, he's just got. Some guy's donating a server to us, and I said, hey, we need it. We need it right away. So he's was supposed to come up tonight. If he doesn't come up tomorrow, we'll run to Best Buy so that by Monday we get everything. And I'm sure the church can get us another hard drive. Yeah, the whole hard drive. It won't even talk. So. That's okay. I can't type either, Ed. Those of you also just joining us, let's see. I've lost my train of thought because I was thinking about the computer. We've just been going over some tactical vest stuff for people that wanted to know what they can put in their tactical vest, things like that. But you can call in with anything you want to. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. It's a PC that died. It's the PC that runs everything, streams your audio. Off of your website, Ed, so that we can retransmit it and all that. It was a HP something or other. It was given to us by the Exeter Militia, and we thank them for it, and it lasted a little over a year. You know, constantly being used. You know, beggars can't be choosers. And we'll see if this new server works out.
Maybe they can.
Beggars can be choosers sometimes? Maybe you will be, but I'm not going to be, Lou. I don't want to get involved in that. I wish... Here, hang on. Lou, where'd you go? He's hiding. Lou, say hi to everybody. Okay, no food for Lou tonight. He's done. There he is. Lou is scared to death to be on the air. Okay, let's see if I can do that. But Lou's here at my left, and Stacy's the next left over helping us out here, and then Debbie's here sitting in a chair. You look relaxed. Are you in your pajamas drinking tea?
Yes, I am. It's been a hard 2 days.
Yeah, it's been pleasant up here. We got threatening rain, and we got all kinds of stuff. I got a little bit of work today. I put in an hour or two raking leaves, so we'll get some money that way, so that's good. We still have needs here, and we need you to go to djstore.tk and buy stuff from us. If you want to donate, you can go to dutchjones.info and use the pitch in. As always, we appreciate that. But we're going to get right back into it now. Let me talk about this. Where'd that go? I forget sometimes that we've got people that, and for very good reasons, have never even thought about tactical gear. You know, they've been camping, they've been hunting, but the militia thing is new to them, and they're not prepared. And then on the other side of the coin, guys have been doing this longer than I've been alive, 45 years almost, and I don't want to insult them by belittling them, but it's good every once in a while just to go over some basic stuff. So the last half hour of the show, we were showing my plate carrier and how I rigged up the front of it at least, and we covered some things, and we'll get into the back of it there. But there's one thing that everybody forgets, and I learned this harshly in the last training we had. We were doing team tactics, so I was all focused. Okay, I got my ammo, I got my weapon, you know, I got my eye protection, I got my knee pads. I'm looking like really high-speed Ricky Rescuer here as we're doing dynamic entries. Well, then right in the middle of a scenario, the instructor, who's an excellent instructor, goes, "You'll have 5 minutes to start a fire." He's like, he's Polish. I don't even know how to do the Polish accent. It's more like Russian. But we're like, what? I had taken all my survival gear off of my vest because I was short-stepping it. I go, well, I'm not going to train like I fight. I'm just going to have ammo, and because we're using airsoft. I'm just going to have a bunch of airsoft ammo and a plastic gun to look cool, and then, you know, that's it. So he caught us because he knew what we were doing. I had my first aid because I figured people can get hurt. And I was one of only 3 people out of, like, 12 that had first aid on us. So that made him a little mad, too. So it's always good to have an outside trainer come in because our own trainers may, you know, miss those kind of things. So you got 5 minutes to start a fire. So I were like, none of us. No one had a lighter. No one had matches. And normally this is what's in my tactical vest. I don't know, can you guys see this? It's my survival necklace. I got a pocket knife. It's a multi-use pocket knife. Got it at Walmart. It's you know, it's a cheap Swiss Army knife, but it's got everything I need in it. I've got Strike Anywhere matches right in here. Strike Anywhere matches with some kindling in there, some dryer lint and dryer sheets. And of course, you see all the parachute cord. I've got my lovely survival whistle, which a lot of you will be getting. We just give them whenever anybody makes a donation, we throw different things in. Survival whistle is one of those things. On this survival whistle, as I told you yesterday or day before, it's got a small compass. It's not for calling artillery fire or for having, you know, having somebody come pick you up, but at least get you out of an area. The other side is a thermometer, so when you're freezing to death, you know just how bad it's going to get.
I like those whistles.
Stacy loves it. And whistle's good. You can use it for command and control. Don't think so? Read Patriots. I'm not going to read it for you. Also, when I was an MP, we all carried little silver whistles. We use those for all kinds of stuff. And a magnesium strip in case the matches get wet, smashed, destroyed. And you say, but that's not tactical, it's orange. You use what you got. I wrapped it on here with some tactical tape. And then I've got several feet of parachute cord, which can be used for all kinds of stuff. And so you've got to make sure that you're able to make a fire. And then I said, okay, we all failed, magic, we're sorry. Let me walk 35 feet to my vehicle and I'll have 18 ways to start a fire. Never again will I make that mistake. This is always, always in our tactical gear. Every one of us has necklaces. You know, I could call it a necklace. I wouldn't wear this around my necklace and neck in a tactical... Where's yours? You have one. Yeah. Stacy's telling me she never got one. Well, see, there you go. If we hadn't talked about this, we wouldn't know. Guess what you're making tonight? You're going to sit down, and you're going to watch TV and make your own little survival necklace. Lou has like four of them. I keep giving them to him, and he keeps losing them.
I only have one.
I've given you three. I gave you, yes.
You gave me that one three times.
I'm not giving you the same one three times. One of them's got parachute cord, and one of them's got like some camouflage string or thread that's it's put together with. So there.
It's like the same one.
It's not the same one, Lou. Lou loses his gear. We keep. I think he's selling it to buy ice to buy bubblegum ice cream. The other thing is in the back you get other first aid. Nice to have another one. Never, ever, ever use your first aid on anyone else. I don't care if it's Lou. He forgets his first aid, he's bleeding out. You know, I'm just kidding, of course. Have another one in your back that you can at least throw to somebody. And there you go. So have first aid. Let me. I'm going to have to move the headphones. Let me grab something else. So don't forget about survival stuff. We're gorillas. You know, there isn't going to be a helicopter to pick us up after we destroy the village. There isn't going to be a reactionary force to help us out. We are going to be on the move, and we may be pursued, and we're going to have to pick up and survive as we go. Hang on. Another thing that I recommend people do. See, I've got that necklace, plus I've got this. An Altoids can. Can you see that? I ate all the Altoids, and then more Strike Anywhere matches. Some wet fire. If you don't know what wet fire is, it's a like wax-like material that you crush up, and it'll ignite anywhere. Strike Anywhere matches, little pieces of cardboard for tinder. You should be able to collect tinder unless you're living in the Pacific Northwest or a rainforest. Put this in your fanny pack. It's a good backup to that. Plus, have lighters. What's wrong with carrying a lighter? You don't have to be Survivor Man. A dog whistle in case a bad guy brings canine units. I like that in there.
Okay, good for business cards.
What's good for business cards? Put business cards in there. Yeah, I never thought of that. In fact, we're going to have a party at the church. We're told all the old folks to go buy Altoids and eat them all up. And we're going to give them little survival. Not just tinder, but we're going to put... It's the SAS survival tin. If you guys have seen that on the internet, we can get the same stuff in here. I was talking about having another tactical folder. Always good to have it. What if you lose your knife? What if you're playing stabby stab in the face with a communist and you can't get it out of their skull? Well, have another backup knife. You know, just a folder, something you can get to. I like this one because it's got like sandpaper, grit on it, so it's easy to use.
You can't fight a guy with two knives.
Yeah, you don't want to fight a guy with two knives. Lou tried it all the time. He's getting cutting himself. Let's see here. One of the things that I've got tons of, right here, I don't know if you can see what these are. These are 100-pound test, 20, 25, and 30-foot lengths of fishing string that I put together. Now, yes, you can use them for fishing. I also have fishing hooks. I have... this is my fishing kit. In this fishing kit, now this is, you know, you've all seen these that have fished. You buy this, it's got a bunch of weights in it. Well, when I've used up all the weights, I put some weights in there, I put some fish hooks, I put some rubber worms, and then I have these all over my gear. They're in every little zippered pouch. They're great for making tripwires with them, literally a tripwire, because we don't have anything that goes boom, boom, bang, bang yet. That'll come after the war starts with the UN. But tripwires, just hooked to some cans or just to slow somebody down. 100-pound test, if you're running through the trees and you catch 100-pound test across the throat and you don't see it, it's going to do some damage to your opponent and make them slow down. So I've got tons of this. I use this in a structure to hook. Remember I've told you the story about hooking up marble jars full of marbles? 100-pound test. 100-pound test. You can find it out there. I got this stuff at a sporting goods store. I've been giving it out. I still have the roll in my pack. But I keep giving these things out. But these little fishing kits, four or five fishing hooks, I even got some leaders in there. You can rig up a survival food collection by fishing. Don't think just militant in your tactical vest. Let's see here. Okay. One of the most important things you can bring, anti-diarrhea pills. Now, these are generic. I can't. So tell me what the chemical is. I can't read it. My eyesight's not that good yet. I've got this little fishing kit. I got this at the dollar store for, guess what, 99 cents? So I was at the 99-cent store. long time ago. They don't have them anymore. But little fishing rig that you can leave. Oh, somebody's calling us.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, take care of it. So, little bobber, not necessary, but another fishing kit. See, I like redundancy. What's it called?
Rat poison.
It's rat poison? What's it called?
Lotoridine or something.
Lotoridine. It's anti-diarrheal. I got this whole thing for like $3. 72 caplets in there. Haven't opened it. Critical. Critical that you have this. I've seen so many guys taken out of the fight. Right now, how many people in Haiti just died from dysentery, diarrhea, cholera, whatever? Everybody's talking about the Altoid cans. Yeah, they're great.
Okay.
Also, lots of loose ammo in my pack, loose 45s. Now, these are ones that I get at REI. You can get them at Walmart. We found them at the dollar store from time to time. These are biodegradable, moist little wipies. You're going, well, what do I care about biodegradable? You want to leave nothing behind. You want to leave it, you know, if you're doing your human waste, someone's chasing you, you're on patrol, you're on a hilltop and you're hidden up there, you're a listening observation post, and you don't want, who is that? Was that our computer guy? Are they coming out?
Tomorrow.
Okay, good. Computer's coming tomorrow, guys. See? These wipes are important. There's nothing more critical than having a nice tushy in the wilderness after you've made number two. I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to be funny, but I am 1,000% serious. Resealable, or have big baggies, have baggies everywhere to seal them up. These are worth their weight in gold among GIs, I can tell you that. These little wipes. These ones are called pre-moistened all-purpose wipes, 100% biodegradable. In 21 days, they disappear. I've tested them. There's nothing left. Great way to not, you know, if you're using your bandana, tree bark, whatever, the enemy will find it.
Let's see here.
Okay, these two little bottles. I hope you guys can still hear me. The meter still looks good, right? I haven't had the headphones on because I'm going back and forth. Water purification tablets. You can use, you just got to know the formula. How many to use in an Aquabac? How many to use in a one-quart canteen? I don't have it. We have the canteens, but I like the Aquabacs because I'm a big, fat, sweaty guy. I like to be able to drink water all day long. These, know the formula. Don't open them until you need them. Once you break this, like it's almost like a rubber cement seal, they start to degrade. One is water purification. Let's make sure here. That's this one. It's iodine based. The other one helps get rid of the flavor. In my canteen cups and all that stuff that I carry Kool-Aid. So I don't care how these taste. I dump Kool-Aid in them. These will keep you from dying. What's the word? These are more efficient than a bulletproof vest. You can die from dysentery. You can die from beaver fever. You can die from all these little contagious hepatitis in the water. These will save your lives. Most guys are, well, they're so expensive, like $7. They're iodine water tablets. And then one that neutralizes the flavor. Let's see. It's I've also got other ones that are like different antibiotics and stuff. I prefer the iodine, and I really like them. Buy these in any camping store. Everybody should have these. Unfortunately, we're the only ones that have them. We have a lot of water filters. Our packs have water filters in them. We have big bucket water filters. Still, everybody should have these. One thing that I probably didn't show you from the front, I've got several of these. These are, you know, very people go, well, they're not very tactical. They're bright silver, these rescue blankets. Put them inside your sleeping bag. Put them underneath your poncho liner. And let me tell you something. I defeated, it was FLIR with these. FLIR. Period. We were doing some training scenarios where I was Op 4 for this Riverside County Sheriff's Department. And they brought in the helicopter. I got underneath this blanket and helped defeat FLIR. Not saying it'll work every time, but this was some dirt. Good idea to have maybe for putting in a shelter. Plus, they'll keep you warm in your sleeping bag at night. Ed's saying you can also use a cap of liquid bleach in a gallon of water. Actually, the formula I recommend is 2 to 3 drops per gallon. A whole capful is more than what you need. 2 to 3 drops in a gallon of water will kill any contagious hepatitis if you pre-strain your water and do all that. Little bottles of bleach are a good thing to carry around, but keep an eye on them if they don't corrode through and ruin your gear. I've seen guys, they buy these cheaper bottles, I don't know what number plastic. They put some bleach in them. It corrodes through, the lid or the seal on the lid, and then they got bleach all over their stuff. So, yeah, and it's like a cup full of water will do like gallons and gallons. A cup full of bleach will do gallons and gallons of water purifying it. And, of course, boiling. Have a process for boiling it. In my backpack that I carry a little tin cup. Oh, a cap for long-term storage, Ed's saying, yeah. Now, I've had people take clear plastic water jugs, put them out in the sun, they say, for several hours, and they say that kills it. I don't trust it. I've never tried it. I don't like it. Boiling, bleach, pills, filtration, do whatever you can. Sometimes multiple. Oh, where did I put the other? Oh, these, I don't know if you'll be able to see these. These are patches. And no, they're not nicotine patches. These are insect repellent patches. Now, one of the biggest debates that I get into, especially with guys that fought in Vietnam that are snipers or high-speed guys, they're like, well, if you use insect repellent, the enemy can smell you. Okay. Well, what good is it if you're completely bit up and get malaria and die, or West Nile fever, or I don't even know all the ones. I use these. The other thing I like to use is fresh dryer sheets in my socks. It helps keep little critters from crawling, and they don't like it. So there you go. And so I picked these up. These are called Patch Care Mosquito Repellent Peel and Stick. Mosquitoes don't really bother me because I eat a lot of garlic, but then it goes back to it. My body odor is very garlicky. Turn on the smell-o-vision, Lou. You don't have the smell-o-vision installed?
No.
And garlic will help you repel naturally mosquitoes and stuff. So it's just one of those things. So I have those in case I get in an area and I can't move and I have to stay there watching. So Ed's saying that the UV and of sunlight doesn't work 100%. Yeah, that's what I figured. So it's that way. I mentioned this before. Comfort. Any little thing you can use that doesn't weigh a whole lot to make your day better. You should be wearing eye protection. Now, I have goggles, tactical goggles that go on. They don't cover these. I replace them with this. We sell them, by the way. But let's say you get debris in the eye. It's good to have something to wash it out with. But I also, for tears, my left eye, I don't know, I had all kinds of problems with my left eye. Fortunately, I'm right eye dominant. But I have to use artificial tears and stuff. If I'm going to be on a scope all day, whether on a weapon or night vision or whatever, it's good to have eye drops. Am I showing them this? Yeah. Things that make you feel a little better. Chapstick. This stuff, I loved it when our militia went down on the border. Like five of our guys had these big fat blisters across their bottom lip. They didn't bring headgear. Bad idea. And they didn't bring anything for their lips. So I get stuff that has sunscreen, SPF, in it. Now, this works for the ladies as well as the men, but it's a little tender issue here. No pun intended. This is body lotion. This is natural beeswax body lotion. But when you're running through the jungle, wherever your body rubs up against itself, you're going to get troubles. And it can crack, it can bleed, it can get infected. So I highly recommend this. Foot powders. I carry foot powder. I carry all kinds of stuff. What's this? A can of beer and a pack of smokes for bait. But lightweight, add a little bit to it. Now, it's one of those things like, you know, a lot of little things add up, I know. But these things are worth their weight in gold when you're getting, okay, I'm going to say it, crotch rot. You're going to love having this. Armpit fungus. You know, you do what you can to break it down before it happens. Stop it. Lotions and things like that. I also carry a bar of soap. Lou, of course, refuses to acknowledge soap exists. I'm just seeing if you're listening. Bars of soap, nothing is better. 4 or 5 days in the field, you find a stream, you set up a tactical watch, you wash up. Some people like biodegradable soap. I just use natural soap. This is beeswax soap, just because I love how it smells. You want stuff that's odorless. You know, it's real strong. You're using ivory or something's a good choice. But you got, like, Irish Spring, the enemy can smell you. Goes back to that argument. But, if, you know, that's a decision you're going to have to make. So, what are we coming up on here? Oh, we are coming up on the end. You know, I can't give you everything, because, like, I've got 3 layers of gear. I have an LBE, which is not this, but it's shoulder straps, a tactical belt, a fanny pack, a canteen with a canteen cup in it, two ammo pouches. What else do I have on there? But all my gear's in there. That's something I can grab. Then I've got a full-on backpack that's full of everything. Stacy's got... Like, come here, Stace. I don't know if you're going to get in it. Where's Stacy? Can they see that, Lou? I'm at an angle here. Okay, stop moving. She's got her first aid on this side. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you like that. She's got her first aid in here, pressure bandages, triangular bandages we carry. They're good for slings. They're good for bandanas. They're all good for all kinds of stuff. Her survival matches and stuff are in here. We're adding constantly. She's got magazines here. She carries the semi-auto. What? So here's her magazines. We're not frontline troops, her or I, so she carries three magazines here. Right here is where her pistol would normally go. You can put a holster in there, or it's on her belt. She carries it on her belt. I don't know if you can see that. Right now, turn around. We got nothing major on the back, but we put a pouch back here for more stuff. We're collecting. I just unsnapped you. We're collecting as we go. Okay, go ahead and sit down. We're collecting as we go. We're not going to get it all right in the first, you know, we can't go out and spend $1,000 each. If anybody can, you know, God bless you, and I hope you're thankful at night when you're saying your prayers. But every vest is going to be different. Lou's is pretty much the same. His is just a different color that I've spray painted. One thing that I didn't. Come here, Stacy. I've neglected to show it on mine. Turn around. Turn around. Walk this way. Walk this way. Right here underneath her beautiful mane of hair, her red hair, there's a handle. This is critical that you have a vest that has a good handle that's sewn into the shoulders, into this. This is what's going to get you out of trouble.
We sell these.
Stays like, we sell these. We train very realistic. When I get wounded, because they always like to wound the fat guy, they have to carry me. They have to drag me. Your tactical belt hooks into your tactical vest. Am I showing here the little straps? If you don't use this, and you're as big as I am, and somebody grabs this to drag you, they're going to leave you behind, because it's either going to pull off over your head, get stuck under your elbows, and you're going to start screaming. Integrate it into your belt. Okay, that's the music there. We're going to come back for a half hour. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I was hoping for questions, but that's okay. Maybe you guys are all on this, but a few of you did ask, and I hope I'm answering what you wanted. We'll be right back.
Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing Americans who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Up till now, I always thought our vets were real patriots who love their country with all their hearts. Oh, they proudly wore the uniform. They fought and died on foreign shores when liberty called them to do their part. Now the Department of Homeland Security has sounded the alarm, calling our vets a bigger threat than the terrorists who want to do us harm. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing conservatives who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. We tend to be pro-life all the way. We're not ashamed to bow our heads to pray. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak our minds. We don't like how our money's spent by politicians who seem bent on controlling everything in our lives. They're even calling us rednecks and racists. racist, 'cause we don't like the policies of our nation's first black president in our great history. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV, 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We're your proud, God-fearing daughters and sons who claim to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. For our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born, but freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers won. On TV, 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who claim to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order, a new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where's the hit for you geniuses out there?
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everyone.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and
and shut your trap. It's time
for tax. Jerry's.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Woohoo! Oh, now we're having fun. I think we're done with tactical gear and just some final notes on it. And Ed shares what I say. What's right for you is not going to be right for me. But the key thing is be able to get to your first aid in any situation, be able to get to your knife, so that other people, if you're passed out, they can identify your first aid, your trauma kit, that stuff. And somebody asked the question during the break, what's a good weight for your rucksack? Everything I've been taught, all the survival schools will say your pack should never be more than 25% of your weight. Well, I weigh 250 pounds, so that's going to be over 55, 60 pounds for me. And I try to keep my rucksack under 40 pounds. I'm always looking for lightweight. That doesn't mean I have to go and seek out, you know, the highest high-speed titanium stuff. No, I just, in the old days, you know, they used steel and iron and stuff, but Boy Scouts have some good lightweight stuff. Always rely on the Scouts and just, you know, look at just regular everyday things that you can recycle and use. Don't let this economy keep you from prepping yourself. You know, I'm a prepper, you're a prepper, you should be a prepper too. That's Lou's new motto. He's gonna sing that everywhere he goes, I've decided. But so just make sure it's accessible, make sure your vest fits, make sure, okay, here's another one that I didn't go into. It's like your tactical gear. You rig it up for summer. What happens when it's cold and you want to put a jacket under it? They have extenders for your web gear. What's going to happen to your tactical vest? Get one that's bigger than you need. Pull in all the strings and all the straps on the side. I got to sneeze again. There's dust coming in the window right in my face here. Thank you for the blessers. And make it so you can expand it. Don't, if you're a large boy like me, don't use the extra large with the straps all the way out. Like Lou here is wearing an extra large, but a large would fit him, but the straps are all the way in. So when he goes to put it over his jacket, all he has to do is let the straps out on the side, or the strings, or the gathers. So that's going to be my final point on that. If you have any more comments or questions, you can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. Right, Lou?
Yeah.
dutch@dutchjones.info. I will be glad to answer your questions, J-O-E-N-S. So dutch@dutchjones.info. This last half hour, the chat room kind of led me into an area here. We're talking about the art of man tracking and human odor. And I had mentioned that it's good to get soaps and things that don't have a strong odor to them. If you're operating in an environment where you're being followed, you know, non-city or in the mountains or urban interface or your wilderness or something, there are people that have honed their skills to the point that they can actually smell out humans. Now, you don't have to be a bum down at the public library to give off an odor. You don't even realize you smell until people that haven't been around you for a while come around you. Every human has an odor. Has to do with their habits, alcohol, cigarettes. Has to do with the foods they eat, herbs, spices, those types of things. You know, you don't have to be a patchouli. That's where I was going, Debbie. You don't have to be a patchouli stinking zombie to give off an odor. If you don't think people stink, go ride public transportation for a day, and you'll start getting people you don't know. We had kids in school that, you know, you go to their house and you could tell that their parents cooked with certain herbs and spices. And you get it. Like I said, I like garlic. So that's something to be for both sides of it, either not giving off an odor or detecting an odor. But something else that happened is Ed kind of got us going on this, Ed Kornke, who's in the room. There are certain things you can put out that will lure people. Now, as a bushwhacker, as a guerrilla fighter, I have no problem with luring my enemy into an area where they think they're tracking me, either odor-wise, sound-wise, those types of things. And one of the last things he put in there is pick up some of those dollar store FM radios that are out there. You know, cheap radios, $1, $2. Tune them in real low and leave them somewhere. They're going to come looking for them. Because all they're going to put it on a talk radio station, not music. Put it on talk radio and they're going to hear voices. You don't want to give up your FRS radios, but these little disposable things would be great. And they would come looking for them. Now, when I used to play tactical paintball on a team, I would drop you know, the equivalent of a magazine, a big tube of paintballs out on the trail. That would make them take their focus off the trail, look down and bend over, like, hey, cool, somebody dropped it. Oh, their loss is my gain. And then I'd light them up. Things like that. We're talking beer, cigarettes, depending on who your enemy is. If we get a bunch of UN troops from Europe, you know, a bunch of cheese and wine, throw it down in a little blanket for them. You know, eventually, the more elite troops are going to just walk right past it, but there are these, the hint of something, rather than, you know, you don't want to go all Gilligan's Island on them and make like a major event, but something subtle left for them to draw their attention. I love the idea of an FM radio, you know, just or an AM radio picking up talk stuff. They're like, hey, we hear it, we can hear it. One of the things I used to do when we'd play Op 4 for the anti-terrorism groups, and they'd use dogs, and they say, oh, these dogs are so highly trained, they won't do this, they won't do that. I used tuna. Yeah. I used to carry cans of tuna, and I'd pop the can and just, you know, drip it all over the place. They may not go to eat it, but it's going to draw their attention. Deer pheromones. If they're tracking you with dogs, you can go out and get estrogen from a deer, not the deer itself, but you can go buy it in a hunting shop. Put it up on some cotton and hang it in a tree. The dogs will go after it. Now, eventually, you could advance this and synthesize dog estrus. You know, you collect dog urine from dogs when they're in heat, and you could do that. There are all kinds of ways to throw stuff off. There's a whole other level here, and I love how the guys in the room and the ladies in the room just create this whole second layer. You know, I'm trying to bring you some basic stuff, and then those have got to go, hey, well, what about this? What about that? That's how we learn. And it triggers things in my head to go, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I wish I'd have thought of that. And being humble in your training attitude, that's how you're going to learn and how you're going to train. You know, we're making jokes like for Lou, it would be Pop-Tarts and soda. You know, that would make him go, ugh. But think about all the war movies we've ever seen. You know, they do it in Hollywood. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but, you know, they oh, look, there's, you know, there's chickens, and they go chasing the chickens. They end up falling bait to a sniper. You know, and eggs, stealing eggs from the hen house, that kind of stuff. You got to be creative in how we're thinking because we're bushwhackers. You know, if you're listening to this and you're a member of a militia and you got 2,000 guys and you have your own base, I'm not talking to you. You're something completely different on a whole different realm. You know, you're gonna mix in with regular units. That's fine. We're not gonna. And most of the people who listen to my show are not gonna be on that level. I'm out looking for sheep that want to become sheepdogs. And if there's a few veterans and a few cops or people that have got the right attitude that can come in, that's fine too. I'm not saying no. But this show is geared at people that have never done this before. I've had people in the last several weeks go, I've never fired a weapon. They, you know, my 2 weeks in the Air Force on the range, I never saw one again. You know, even if they're ex-military. So I don't know what to do. That's what this show is geared to. And I may drag down some of the Liberty Tree radio guys who are like, oh, man, what's this guy? What is this, 101? But it's important that we don't forget that we can always learn from each other. And there's this whole cadre of people coming up. Some of them are worthy of training. Not all of them. Some of them are worthy of training. And it's good that we continue to reach out to them and do this basic stuff and rehash this stuff. Because I'm sure there are people that are going to listen to the replay. And I got some stuff to talk about. We found out who's been listening. Wow. Lou figured out with our new website since September to see who's... And some of the countries that are listening from just the U broadcast. Not even talking about the Liberty Tree Radio huge audience and satellite and the people that are rebroadcasting on shortwave and all that. So we'll talk about that in a minute here when I make sure I don't talk over myself so I don't run out of time. But that humans have an odor and then other humans can track them. One of the things I highly suggest is to watch Man Tracker. Download them. I love watching them because you see it from a guy who's looking for either lost kids or fugitives. He's neither good nor bad. He's just a guy on a horse. And the way he finds people and the mistakes people make on that, you know, it's good television. It's kind of, you know, reality TV, kind of stinky, smelly. But you can learn stuff on that and how he's finding them and or how they get away. What do they do to get away? Because there's going to come a time, folks, I have no doubt in my Christian military heart that they're going to come for us. And those of us that are fortunate enough to see the wave coming that get out ahead of them are going to have to figure out these things. Start putting the mindset in your head, like what was going on in the chat room. They got into that mindset. They started role-playing with it, making jokes, but yet they started thinking about it. What could I do? What about this? What about that? You've got to put yourself in that place as a guerrilla fighter. We are guerrilla fighters. We are not soldiers. You know, all these people can buy all the really cool uniforms they want, brand new, whatever. They can drill in ceremony. We are not soldiers. We are citizens defending our homeland and our loved ones. You know what? I think that's better. And I'm not degrading a soldier. But we fight for our homes and for our loved ones. What's a soldier fight for? They do what they're told, usually. They fight for rank. They fight for their soldier that's standing next to them. We're going to be fighting for our homes and for our very existence, for our very survival, and for a new nation that we're going to build after this. So if we get the attitude of like, oh, well, I just have to buy the stuff and make sure I do push-ups and, you know, and I'm in shape, which I need to do, and, you know, that starts Monday. But we can't lose focus that we are guerrillas and we have to fight like guerrillas. If that means we're going to bait the enemy with some Pop-Tarts and girly magazines, then so be it. I don't know if you guys have heard this, if they talk, because we haven't been able to download Liberty Tree Radio since our computer died, but China has a battle plan to come in about 6 months after America falls financially and take over the western regions of the United States. Common knowledge, they're planning for it. And they'd be stupid not to. Why should they just sit by and let all this go to waste? I would hope that our nation has the same plan for them if they fall into financial strife. So we don't know who we're going to be fighting. You know, a bunch of short, rice-eating, sake-swilling... I don't know if Chinese drink sake or if that's Japanese, but... We don't know who our enemy is going to be. We've got to be ready to adapt. We've got to be ready to overcome. We've got to be ready to get just mean and nasty and dirty. We've got to be ready to do whatever it takes to stop them from taking over our land. I don't care if it's the UN. I don't care if it's the New World Order. I don't care if Brazil invades us. I don't care who it is. This is our land. This is our home. We're not fighting because of a contract we made with some entity. We're fighting in our own homes. Now, if they move me off this property, which I'm not going to be stupid and try and stand here and fight against some large force, I'll fight wherever I'm standing. Wherever I hang my rucksack will be my home, and they have no right to it. And I will make them pay a dear and high price for what they have taken. I don't care if it's the telephone repair guy, the guy who digs the latrines, or a four-star general on their side. If I get a shot at them, I'm taking it. And we have to have that attitude. How can we make a target-rich environment even more fruitful for our side? Is that too many mixed metaphors for you? What can you do in your area of operations if you decide to stay there? What can you learn? What can you train? What can you pre-stage? You got to be looking at avenues of fire, just like you would on a hillside. Can I shoot down this street? Who's in that house at the end? What happens if I miss? Am I going to hit that house? The reason that our armies are losing around the world, and yes, our armies are losing. And if you don't believe me, sorry, you just don't want to have your eyes open, is because we keep fighting the last war. And other than the specialized units and the groups going in and fighting insurgents, even the special forces of today are not allowed to do what they're trained to do. I know special forces guys that are on active duty in Afghanistan now. They're not allowed to do what they're trained to do now. That's the difference between us and a soldier. Politicians tell soldiers what to do. Nobody tells me in the militia what to do. Sure, I obey my commander, and we discuss, you know, targets of opportunity and stuff like that in our area. But we're all on the same ticket. We're not trying to achieve just a political agenda. In fact, probably not at all. We are trying to achieve a survival agenda. And to push the crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything we do. Yeah, we'll take prisoners. Yeah, we'll treat them nicely and everything. But until they become a prisoner, no mercy, no quarter, and repel them from our land. And I don't care if it's somebody from the county seat or somebody from Beijing, China. I don't care what their excuse is. I don't care that they're following orders. I don't care that they work for somebody and they're doing it. They are going to die for what they've done. And that's the only way we're going to win this. That is the only way we're going to win this, if you have that kind of attitude. Otherwise, everything you're doing is just a joke. You're just a Ricky Rescuer. You're just running around with all the cool gear. And you're just annoying your wife. And you're going out and you're talking a lot of crap around the campfire. Unless you have an attitude that this is for real and everything is at stake, there's no point in you even listening to my show. There's no point in you coming up here to train with us. Because you're just wasting your time. If this is just about how fast you can draw your weapon and you can have the latest gear, that's not the point, folks. The point is liberty for all men, and liberty comes from Jesus Christ. And all enemies of Jesus Christ deserve two things, a chance to repent and a chance to die for their beliefs if they refuse to repent, period, end of story. And whatever evil they do upon us, they are accountable for it. They may repent, but they still have to pay for the evil. If they rape and murder, that's great that they repented and became Christians. They're still going to be hung for the war crimes. You know, you've got these idiots in Washington who say they don't know what to do with the pirates. Oh, it's a touchy situation. We don't know what to do with pirates. Well, one, it's already written in law that pirates are to be hung and killed. So they already don't acknowledge their own law, all these admirals, Coast Guard, Navy, all these fools and brightly colored uniforms. If these ships at sea would just conduct themselves like men rather than little old ladies and arm their crews and just repel all attackers like they used to 150, 200 years ago, there would be no more pirates. But it's all part of the brainwashing. You're not responsible for your own safety. In fact, you don't even have liberty, so what's the logic in you defending your liberty? You don't have liberty. I made a comment earlier that you know, America's become sharecroppers and tenement farmers. It's true. Yeah. You don't own your house. You don't own your land. When you die, the government takes a bite of your legacy that you leave your children, or if not, take it all. The line in the sand has been crossed. We're already at war with our own occupational government. You can fill in whoever the bad guy is. I don't care. This week for me, I've been studying Masons. But whatever it is, whatever your flavor of the month conspiracy is, but the fact is enemies of Christ are the enemies of Christ, and enemies of liberty are the enemies of liberty. Period. It's as simple as that. How do you know who the bad guys are? Are they enemies of liberty? Yes, then they are our enemy. Do they denounce Jesus Christ? Do they do everything in their power to limit people who are Christians? Yes, then they need to be removed. First, by legal means, then by any means necessary. What was the other thing I said I was going to talk about if I got to it?
I don't know.
See, I already forgot. You guys help me out.
Stuff.
I said I may forget about this.
Stuff.
What was I going to talk about? Somebody in the room help me here, if you're listening. I said I was going to get to something in the last few minutes, and I forgot what it is. That's what I get for not taking notes, Holly. It's not about tactical gear. It's not about... Anyway, I'm sure it'll come to me on Monday, and I'll go, hey, guess what? You were supposed to do something on Saturday, and if you didn't because I forgot, you're all in trouble. But we're winding down here for the week. It's Friday. Tomorrow we're going to have a big celebration around our post office, try and get people to acknowledge that it exists. The pastor's daughter is going to be one of the original postmistresses from the 1880s. Should be good. I plan to videotape it and interview her and videotape some of the stuff. We'll put it up on the website. We're just going to fight to keep our post office open. Some good things are happening here. I've been contacted by a bunch of ham radio operators that want to get involved. Like with everything, there's a courtship. It's not that we don't trust anybody. We just want to make sure it's good. So, thank you, Olima. We might be getting if we get our shortwave and everything up in the next few months, it'll be because these guys are going to help us, because I've hit a stone wall. We don't have the funds to get antennas or coax, and they want to help out. I was going to talk about web stats. Thank you, Olima. Lou went into the web stats on the new website.info, and the people that are visiting the site, we got people in China, South Korea, Tehran, Beirut. We had, for the month of September, we had over 5,000 hits.
No, for September and October.
Well, yeah, because it's 4 months or 4 weeks because we're still. So for the last 5 weeks, we've had over 5,000 hits from all over the world. And some of these people, you know, it's one, because they count one visitor and how many times he hit, right? So one visitor is coming back 70 or 80 times, and he's living in China. People living in, what's the word, Sharia law controlled places.
Israel.
You know, we have a bunch of people listening in Israel. That must be fun. Pakistan. I mean, can you bring up the site, or is it going to be too hard? Because it was just amazing to me. Because, you know, Ed's done it for his site, and so I asked Lou if he could do it, and he didn't know. So we went and looked at all the stuff, and sure enough, it's showing the head count. And I feel really blessed that there are that many people listening. Now, granted, some of them are listening, and, they, you know, in these countries that, you know, they probably don't care. I didn't see how many were listening in Washington, D.C. Can you look that up, Lou?
No.
Yeah, it's just nations. It's not states. But, yeah, I probably got at least two people assigned to me over there at the Pentagon. A couple at the FBI, national security, you know. listening. But of course, they can just download the stuff. They're pod people. I have a feeling that our Alphabet Soup guys are all pod people. Yeah, and they're probably going, yeah. You wouldn't believe how many soldiers I get calling me. I can't tell you who I am or where I'm at. I'm active duty over in blah, 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 Stan, and I love listening to your show. You know, I just want to get that. And, see, you know, part of me saying, oh, they're probably lying to me. It's probably some guy sitting in a hut in Ohio. But it's still, I am still very glad that we're having that kind of reach. And I blame you guys, because you guys have been promoting the show. I want you to, you know, take the website dutchjones.info. And the Liberty Tree Radio website, .4mg.com, libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and paste it everywhere. When you're making comments on politically relevant stories like on Yahoo like I do, I put the page in there. You know, you have to get creative and do it. China has government-controlled internet, Ed's saying, so it's probably the premier listening to me. You know, who knows? But I just think it's great. Lou's still trying to find it?
I'm trying to get it up.
Oh, it's taking forever. But that's okay. If you don't find it, that's cool. But I just think it's cool that we got so many people. I know Arbitron, so we can get a rating from Arbitron. Maybe we'll get a Nielsen rating too. Warland put us up on Arbitron. But I was surprised. He can also. It's a rating system for radio shows. Arbitron. They just, you know, it's people care about. Oh, hey, look at this guy. I've also noticed Lou could figure out how many people have embedded this show off of you broadcast, and there's just a ton of people, and where people are coming from. There's a bunch of just Google searches. They're Googling things like militia, and it's directing to us. What was the one funny one? It was something that was really weird. It was like a piece of tactical gear.
Flecktarn tactical gear?
Yeah, Flecktarn tactical pants, or Flecktarn camouflage pants. And it was insane. It was really cool. By the way, let's see. All radio over the web is state-controlled. Odds are if you have a hit from China, it's military intel or U.S. embassy. That's fine. But I'm just glad people are listening. And I don't know where the downloads are going. I haven't talked to Olima for that, but I know those were in good numbers. And it's just awesome. And I'm real happy to see that, you know, South Korea, I don't, you know, that's fine. If it's going to Cuba, a bunch of people in Cuba were listening. Venezuela, they probably heard I was making fun of them the other day. But, yeah, there's, you know, liberty is not an American thing. It's a global thing for all men of all races, all women, all children. And it's just nice to know that we got people listening. It'd be nice if everybody sent a dollar. Can you imagine if 5,000 people in 5 weeks all sent a dollar? I'd probably have a heart attack. We'd be buying FM transmitters and mailing them out to everybody. So that'd be cool. We'll go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. Thank you for staying with me. Thanks for watching my sweaty, fat butt show off my gear. Thanks, Ed, for rebroadcasting us. Thanks, folks who are listening on CB Channel 2. Hey, he left. Maybe I offended the New Yorker listeners. Hopefully he's still in there as a guest. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to my pod people, Facebook people. Look for us on Facebook. Email us at Dutch@DutchJones.info, Dutch@DutchJones.info. Kick in, folks. Kick in. We need every bit we can get. You know, we've got broken computers. I got to figure out how to pay this guy's gas bill for coming all the way up here with it. He's working on it for free, but I don't want to send him home with nothing. So, folks, thank you. Just remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty in this, the second war of federal aggression.